are married. Whether you can think back to the time when you were engaged, it might be not too long ago, it might be quite a while, but think back to that time and try to remember, if you can, those revelations that you found out at that time when you were betrothed, when you were preparing to be married. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, marrying Claire, I didn't quite have the same shocks that Joseph had. You see, I knew Claire reasonably well, although our engagement was quite short. The sorts of things I found out were maybe her preferences in perfume or food. Or that... No, I won't go there. But when I read this passage and the whole of the Nativity passages of the last couple of weeks, I was struck by Joseph. And this morning, if part of what I want to bring is a bit of a reflection on who Joseph was, his character and his relationship with God, that it might inspire us, that it might challenge us. You see, this guy, engaged to marry this young girl, his life was there in front of him. He could see where it was going. He knew what was going to happen. And it was good. It was good. And then all of a sudden, he finds out that this wife-to-be is expecting a child. I can't begin to imagine what that would be like. All the questions. What's been happening? What's been going on? Questions about the future. What's going to happen here? Just want us to, right at the beginning, put ourselves in his shoes and imagine what it would have been like. Verse 18, we read, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit." She was found to be with child. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph, a righteous man, a man of integrity. This was before the angel had arrived, before explanation had been given. This was what he was known as, what those in his family who lived around him would have seen him as. Joseph, yes, he's a righteous man. He's a man of integrity. He's a man who lives right before God and others. He did not want to expose her. He had a love for her that said, actually, despite what might have happened, I'm not here to disgrace her. We read later on, don't we, in the Gospels, the woman who was caught in adultery being dragged out before Jesus and the crowd. Joseph wanted nothing of that. Whether he thought, my future wife has sinned, found with child, but I don't want to disgrace her. We know, don't we, from further on in Matthew, that when we recognise sin in another, is not that we might bring it out into the open to bring disgrace, but that we might go to our brother or sister, confront them, and hopefully win them, that our relationship might be restored. Joseph, a righteous man, known as such by all around. But not only was he righteous, he was a man of faith. The angel appears and says, "By the way, Joseph, don't worry, this was by the Holy Spirit." He believed. Everything facing him would have screamed at him, I'm sure, "No, this is not right. How can this be?" I don't know whether you've seen an angel recently. I certainly haven't. And angelic appearances weren't commonplace at that time. God had been relatively silent for 400 years. He might have heard via Mary of her relative Elizabeth's husband being visited by an angel. Maybe even Mary had plucked up the courage herself and said, "Joseph, never guess what happened last night. An angel appeared to me, and by the way, I'm going to be pregnant." Maybe. But this was extreme. This was not common. An angel appeared and said, "This is what has been prophesied. You know your scriptures. You know that it says in Isaiah, a virgin will be with child, be called Emmanuel, God with us, would be of the line of David." And Joseph's there thinking, "Well, yeah, I am of the line of David, but, you know, 14 generations on, quick sum, if every generation had two sons, over 16,000 possibles. Why me? Why now? Surely, can this be?" And yet he believed God. A man of faith. Man of integrity. A man of faith. How do we know that he was a man of faith? Because he obeyed. A man of obedience. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. When the child was born, he gave him the name Jesus. Then goes on, doesn't it, in chapter 2, he obeyed again in fleeing to Egypt, and then coming back and going off to Galilee. A man of obedience. James 2 reminds us, doesn't it? "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." And as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. He heard the word of God. He believed. And he obeyed. As I was thinking and praying about Joseph, the challenge came to me. Am I known as a person of integrity? Righteous before God and others? Am I a person of faith which leads to obedience? As I was mulling over things yesterday evening in preparation for this morning, I got to a point where I was desperate, saying, "God, how am I to make sense of this?" You see, whilst I'd prepared a reflection on Joseph, I was faced yesterday with the news of Bill. with the news and the pictures of the flooding. I had spent most of my day either fighting people in the aisles of Tesco's and spending probably too much money on the next 2 weeks, or wrapping up presents to go under the tree. And as I thought about those things, God just stirred me, I believe, and I just want to lead us a little bit in thinking through how Joseph and how our faith impacts on what we are engaged with at the moment, as individuals and as a church. You see, going around Tesco's, intent on buying the things that we wanted for Christmas, for the new year. Oh, and remembering to pick up something for food bank. And if you brought the food bank, great, this morning we'll keep it open, and next week bring as well. But looking at my trolley, and looking at what I had bought for ourselves, and what I had bought for those in need around, just made me question, how self-absorbed am I, are we at this time of year? When we see the pictures of the floods and people being evacuated, presents and Christmas trees being swept away, everything going, how annoyed do I get when I take the dog out for a walk and he gets a bit muddy and I get a bit wet? Earlier in the week, one of our kids said to Claire, my wife, you know, presents are more exciting when they're wrapped up. Don't know about you, you see a present that's wrapped up, it could be anything. It could be that thing that you've always wanted and thought never would have. Christmas Day, invariably, you have to cope with a sense of disappointment, but realism. But it looks lovely wrapped. The tree looks lovely when it's adorned. When we meet up with relatives this time of year, maybe for you it's great, and for us it will be great. But for a lot, actually, this is maybe the one time of the year where they have to put on another face of getting on with relatives, with friends that actually they're slightly estranged from. There's an element of veneer, isn't there? Pretend that everything's all right, things are great. And then the news of Bill stopped me short, brought new perspective on things. As I asked myself, well, what's this all about this Christmas? What's life all about at the moment? Maybe for you, and it's as is written in Matthew. You see, there's the chunk about the genealogy, the history. There's the excitement of angelic visitation, declaring what's going to happen. Verse 25, the last verse in the chapter. But he, Joseph, had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And there can be a sense that for Christmas, there's excitement leading up to, as you think of angels and shepherds and all the rest of it. oh, Jesus is born, and then life continues. And we lose sight of actually the enormity of what this is all about. You know, it's great thinking and seeing shepherds and angels and the rest of it. But I don't know about you, but last Sunday, if you were here, if you weren't listening on the web, if you were here listening to Adrian speaking from John 1, the incredible, awe-inspiring marvel that is God becoming human flesh, dwelling among us. He was born, Jesus, the Saviour of the world. This is what it's all about. This week we had some of the children from year three at Crofton come in to do a Christingle service, and they did it very well, and I was able to say a little bit before and afterwards, just reminding the children, don't forget what you said in this service. But it's Jesus, the light of the world, come into the world to save each and every one of us. That's what it's all about. You might have seen some of the posters, the adverts going up. The God baby. He cries, he wheezes, he saves the world. You might like it, you might find it odd. However you react to it, it's trying to encapsulate, isn't it, that sense of God becoming human flesh. He's real. And this is what it's all about this Christmas. No matter what we get up to, whatever we do, whatever news we hear this Christmas, God becoming flesh. The question is how we react to that. Whether we, like Joseph, will be people of integrity. Whether we will be people of faith who respond in obedience to what God has done in sending his Son to earth to be living here, to go on to die and to rise again. God with us this Christmas. Let's ensure our perspectives are right, our focus is right. Let's pray together. Lord God, in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the good news and the sad news, we declare that our focus needs to be on you. This time is all about you, Jesus. And we desire to marvel yet again at the miracle that is God with us, Emmanuel. Lord God, help us as your people to respond in faith and obedience as we seek to live for you with integrity this Christmas and into 2013. That your name, Lord Jesus, might not be confined to the manger, but might live in and through us with power to change lives, power for salvation, that there might be great rejoicing in the heavenlies at what you are doing in our midst and in this neighbourhood and to the ends of the earth. as a result of God being with us. Amen.
Thanks, Matt. We're going to just take some moments to reflect a little more quietly before our children arrive back in on some of the things that Matt's been saying to us as we sing probably a newer song for some of us, but it encapsulates something of the wonder of the Christmas story. I would suggest we remain seated as we sing this next song together, and then a couple more lively songs which enable us to bring our worship and our adoration to God. But firstly, we're going to sing this next song, which is Joy Has Dawned Upon the World, Promise from Creation. This is the big picture that Matt's been bringing us back to this morning. God's salvation now unfurled, hope for every nation, not with fanfares from above, not with scenes of glory, but a humble gift of love, Jesus born of Mary. You may not know the tune of this very well, but they are great words, so let's just use this as part of our response this morning. We'll remain seated as we sing. Thanks, folks.